All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. We're joined on it now by Brendan Devaney, presenter of the DL Debate. Hi, Brendan. Are you there, Brendan? No, we aren't joined by Brendan Devaney. So we'll come back to that in a moment. We're going to be speaking about the potential 8-week ban from all GE activity to do with the seniors of Jim McGuinness. That's going to be coming up in a while. We want your views on that as well, by the way. 086 6025000, WhatsApps and texts to that number. But we've loads of issues, stuff coming in on different topics, of course. We were speaking about scams. Josephine's listening in Strabane. Josephine, great to have you on board. Scammers are ringing me to say that they're taking over the heating in my house. They were looking for my bank details. They rang me multiple times a day yesterday. They were ringing every 5 minutes. I know they're not legit, as the council pay for my heating and the council don't ask for money. How do I go about trying to get them to stop? That's a tough one. Any advice, please pass it on. On investment scams, every day a man rings me looking for €250 in investments. I complained to the banks and thankfully they gave me my money back. I should have known better, as he called me Mr. George. Nobody in this day and age calls you that, indeed. Well, listen, I'm glad that you got the money returned to you. But yeah, we have to keep our eyes and ears open. Brendan Devaney's there now. Good morning, Brent.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, OK, we were talking about this yesterday and the speculation, what we were speculating about, came to pass. Finbar Rorty, he was 17 when he played against Armagh last Wednesday night, a day before his 18th birthday. And the way the rules have been enforced since 2016, that would preclude him, would it, from playing for Donegal for all of 2024?
Yeah, that's the rules, Greg. He can play for his club now, so you could have a scenario where he obviously has a very successful club and they would kick a ball away from the Ulster final, which we've seen played out a few weeks back with massive crowds and that. So he potentially could play in games as big as that, but not for his county. But okay, listen, this is about protection of young players. And you know, I agree with the stance the GAA have taken on protecting young players. But I think in this instance, this is a ridiculous outcome to this situation.
But the rules are the rules. Should someone not have known that this was the situation and double-checked, triple-checked and made sure that we weren't contravening the rules?
Yeah, but there's rules, Greg, and then there's rules, right? Every competition needs framework and rules. But let's put this into context for a second here. These rules were brought out to protect young players, right? It was changed in 2016. Who exactly is going to know when this rule was changed? You know, it's in a massive rule book. It's a small change the thing that a lad can't play, as you said, until the following season from the calendar year they turns 18. So this was the rule was brought in. Nobody really knew about it. Now, if you look at that game, the Kenna Cup game, pretty irrelevant. Armagh sent down their under-20s team, basically. Kieran McGinney wasn't even there. I mean, Armagh played Dublin a friendly in the same week. I don't know if it was the same night, but they weren't even there. So really, this was a mistake by people that maybe should have known the rules, as you said, but it was really a small, small glitch. Now, to blame Jim McGuinness for this in some way, I mean, let's just say across the water, Man City had an issue with a registered player. The registration wasn't through properly. Do you think Pep Guardiola gets banned for 8 weeks? I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And if you look at it, like, the bigger picture in this, why was this rule brought in to protect young players? Therefore, at the start of the season, if somebody makes an error in an irrelevant game, then you just say, here, that lad can't play. Okay, throw out a fine or say something or give the county board a slap and the rest, the secretary or whatever. But you just say, here, that can't play. You're not exposing them to a season. You're not exposing them to what this rule is about, which is protecting the player. So they lumped an 8-week ban on Jim McGuinness. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there's no doubt that they'll ask for a hearing on this.
And it's not just a sideline ban, Brendan, either. This would be taking him out of training and coaching and what have you as well, if I understand it correctly. I mean, it's an incredibly tough sanction, isn't it, for fielding a player one day off their 18th birthday in a throwaway competition?
Yeah. And Greg, on top of that, listen, I don't even want to mention the young lad, really, because, again, at his age, this is a lot of hype to put on him and what should have been a very happy occasion for him. And, you know, from Jim's time in the past, if you look at it, you know, he obviously gave Patrick McBurdy his debut on the same day he played for Donegal Miners against Antrim. Michael Murphy played for Donegal when he was 17. You know, there's certain lads that are ready, but then the rules were changed and they're all in agreement. And if you look at the young fella, you know, potentially like in any season there, at his age, if he's good enough, he's going to play like with his club underage, his school, his county. He could play with two county teams. And then he'd be pulled into his senior team. And so you're on about five or six teams could be pulling at the lad. So the GAA is trying to say, right, hold on, this can't happen. But that's a long-term rule to stop long-term abuse of young players that are getting pulled everywhere by managers. So if in one game, if there's a mistake in there, why is there all this hype around it? Should they not just have went to Donegal and said, hold on a second, that lad actually can't play. You broke the rule. And let's say here. And everybody in the country now would wake up and go, wait, hold on, that can't happen.
Yeah, but even they need to look at this rule, don't they, of the age on the first day of the year. That rules this young fella for an amazing potential experience over the course of 2024. Even that needs to be adjusted where it's middle of the year or end of the year or something, I don't know. But to rule someone out for the whole year because their birthday just happens to be at the start of January is... Because you talked about all of the different directions a player... could be pulled in, but your club and your county, if you could line them up, that would be one and two.
Yeah, 100%. And funnily, Greg, from when we were growing up, you know, I was born in December, which was a disaster because you missed a full year. But listen,
right,
the date, okay. usually born in January is a brilliant thing because you have a full year nearly, and some other lads you might be playing against. But listen. The rule is bothering, like, I totally understand the fact that they tweaked it between club and county. You can understand how somebody might miss that. And again, like, if this is a big game and somebody comes in that's not properly registered and they influence a game, and I get all that, and rules have to be adhered to. But if this rule is meant to protect overexposure of young players, and as soon as the fella plays, it's highlighted, then it's done its job for me. It's already said he can't play. We want to protect, and he's too young to be done to Donegal, yeah. And they're the rules.
But listen, at the end of the day, though, at the end of the day, Brendan, isn't this how it works, really? The powers that be will want to be seen to be implementing the GAA rule book. So they've done that. But there is a process to be gone through now. They don't want to surely be seen to be taking Jim McGuinness out of the scene for 8 weeks for Donegal, especially with the excitement and build-up heading towards the game against Cork and beyond that. So there's we're bound to come up with a middle ground here, aren't we, whereby Jim will be able to continue in his job, doing his job as he wants to, but also the rules are seen, at least in the first instance, to have been fully adhered to. Isn't that how it works? We'll come up with a wee solution here, won't we?
But sure, Greg, why the need for that? Why isn't there a bit of sense here? As I say, when you look at the bigger picture of the rule, you know, we've had instances there with players and situations, and you know, if you look at the club final last year with the 16 players in the pitch, like, there are proper instances where someone has messed up, and the actual outcome of the whole competition or the game, which was a final, is a question mark around it. So they're pretty big things, and you can see all the furore in it. With this here, if you look at this rule, which is about protecting players long-term, or young players, if someone makes it, and straight away it's highlighted, then the rule for me has already done its job in terms of, right, he can't play, we don't want that to happen. Why is there this need for a sanction? And listen, I think it's a touchline thing, but listen, I could be wrong. But again, even that, as you said, with all the hype that's around Jim now and with the GAA and that, I mean, regardless of that, like, people will say it shouldn't matter who it is or what the situation is. But I just think, like, there has to be, I mean, we're looking at common sense. Jim, for one, if you look at the team Jim around him, he has a massive team around him. Why? Because he needs that. And what is his job? He's concentrating on developing those players, on getting them to their best, and getting the group fit, and getting their tactics in place, and getting everybody in their position where Donegal can compete for honours.
Okay, well, so listen.
The sideline of registration or that rule that was changed in 2016, how would he be aware of that? So they blame him for that. I don't know. To me, it's no sense.
I have a feeling that common sense will prevail, but in the first instance, the rules were seen to be put in place. But look, you were at the game at the weekend. I'm not sure if you were at the Armagh game or not. It's two games, the Armagh game for what it was. I don't know. It's always good to beat Tyrone if you're a Donegal fan. What's your takeaway in terms of how he's putting the team out, how they're playing, how they're pressing? Do you think he's changing changing the game, playing it a different way? What's he trying to achieve there, and from your perspective?
Greg, straight away you can see a different vibe in the team, the fitness levels. And I think, particularly if you base it on last year, the team came in very late. And there obviously was issues around training and even S&C. And Donegal got off to such a slow start that they were playing catch-up. And that's why you had the horrific league campaign that they had. Now, they did obviously stabilise coming into the championship, obviously after the first-round exit to Down, which really looked like we were going down a terrible path. It was like a write-off season. But they did stabilise. So what you see now with Donegal is, and you can see it in the legs and some of the runs were made during that match by a lot of our players, have already upped the gears in terms of training. So instead of coming into the league a bit flat, it's going to be the direct opposite this year. You know, your players back that hadn't played last year, you know, likes of Ryan McHugh, Shane O'Donnell there the last day, flying, Patter Mogan, you know, injury-free, moving brilliant. You know, Langan as well, injury-free. So a lot of the players are coming back. Players are injury-free. You can see the training and the buzz is up. So listen, McKenna Cup, there's loads of different things being trialled. You know, it's early January, but I think it's going to be a completely different Donegal this year. And based on what the lads did last year, and I keep going back, they really pulled it together in the group stages of the championship to come through. And you know, they give Derry team a great game for 45 minutes or so without all those players missing. So, you know, that's why I think a lot of people in Donegal are really positive going into this season, because there's no doubting that Donegal will be a completely different force this year. And they'll have another six or seven, eight players added to what they had last year. So, listen, looking forward to it. And this is why it's a bit of a, how do you say, Greg? It's a wee bit of a sickener in terms of, you know, there's a great buzz around Donegal. Now we have this silly situation happening. So, as you say, hopefully common sense comes in.
Yeah. I think it will, without a doubt. Because, as I say, the game needs the Jim McGuinness as well. It's not just about county. It's the national element to it as well. As always, Brendan, thank you very much indeed. Take care of yourself. Brendan Sounds Devaney good. There. Who is presenter of Highland Radio's DL debate. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number if you want to get involved in the conversation, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Right, we got a note in from St. Joseph's Hospital, St. Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar, and it says, "Dear Nigel Noon Show, I'm writing you in relation to your very generous donation of €500 to the Patients' Comfort Fund and the gift hamper. Thank you for your visit to St. Joseph's, and it made our residence day memorable. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you, as this is greatly appreciated." Well, listen, in the run-up to Christmas, it was one of the highlights for me anyway. In that Christmas week, we visited a number of nursing homes, community care settings, and it was wonderful. And we were able to leave a lovely big hamper and €500 for the comfort fund for each of those places too. Right, OK, we're talking Shop LK now, and if you're watching the programme, you'll see over my back of my shoulder under my telly on top of the radiator, €5.7 million and change. We're going to put that into context now, because we're joined in studio by two guests. They are namely Tony Forrester, CEO of Letterkenny Chamber, and our own Fionnuala Rabbitt, who's president of Letterkenny Chamber. Both of you, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great to have you in.
Good to be back.
Right, Shop LK. Tony, I'll start with you if that's all right. A huge success this year.
Absolutely delighted. I kept being challenged, you know, will it go over five this year? And I'm like, no, don't think we'll make it. Last year was 4.1. No, but I am stunned by the figure we've got today. Over five point seven million is just a huge figure for considering this a Letterkenny card. You know, it's just to be sold, to be used in Letterkenny.
Yeah, and Fionnuala Rabbitt, that's a really important part of this. It's not really about, oh look, we've created a card, look how popular it is. It's actually where the money goes as well. It's feeding in. This is where it. This is why it's such a wonderful initiative.
Well, that's what it's so fantastic. I mean, we're heading into the 20th year of a Shop LK scheme that was set up by the Chamber long before my time even being here in Donegal. And it's just grown and grown all the time. And I mean, like that 5.7 million this year was such a tremendous figure to hit. But I think the other thing that people need to realise is that very rarely do people just spend what's on their card.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, stats have shown us that people actually spend almost up to four times what the figure is, which means that this is going to be anything up to 20 million that will be spent in or around the Letterkenny area, in the Letterkenny shops and services, you know, both retail and services. We've members, Shopwell K members from all different areas that accept the card. And it just means that that's a huge figure that will be spent in the next year, 2 years. I know the cards last, I think it's 5 now, isn't it, with the new thing. But to be honest, I'd say most people have them spent by the time the year is out.
Well, I want to focus on that because it's important people get out and spend the money on the cards as well too. You know, because some of us can be quite lackadaisical in that regard and just have it sitting there and then we realise a year later, oh, it's there. You know, that money's there to be spent.
Absolutely. And I know myself, you sometimes you get Christmas presents or different things through work, because a lot of this might be vouchers and bonuses people got through work, and it kind of goes up in the press and then you might forget about it until you're clearing out the press. One thing to remember is, yes, they do last up to 5 years. But the other thing is it's no good having the money sitting there. It's not earning you any interest. It's not earning you any...
And it's not feeding into the local economy as
exactly.
such at that
it's
point.
Not doing anything, it's not doing anything to help you or to help the local economy, as you say. So people should be, you know, get out and spend it and think about it. And as I said, it's not just, you know, sometimes people think with these cards, it's just retail. It is obviously retail, but it's not just retail. There's a lot of services, and you can check out the Chamber website and you'll see the list of all the shops and that, or check out our socials and that, and you'll see them all the time listed, the different businesses across Letterkenny that are involved.
Yeah, now, in relation to where the cars are being bought, obviously with tax and all that kind of stuff, a lot of them are businesses who would be buying them as bonuses. But it's not all that. I mean, that's obviously going to be a significant part of it, but there's more to it than that.
We think about 75% are corporate. But that's anything from the big corporates buying for all their staff to the tiny, tiny businesses who buy, directors buy them and whatever. Now, the government incentive of €1,000 tax-free is huge, you know, and that probably increased the programme last year, probably fairly substantially. But we thought that would sort of stabilise, but that seems to be keeping on going. And it's great that the Irish government do that. So with 75%, but also our ordinary person buying it has increased as well. It's phenomenal. We had a pop-up shop in the Courtyard Shopping Centre. They're very good to keep us there. And we only had it open for December, and it just blew our socks off, you know, in terms of it was a queue every single day, 10 people long, and people were buying. So grannies buy them, you know, young people buy them. Yeah. Young people really love them. It's really interesting to watch our young people spend them in the young people's shop.
Yeah,
for sure. Pennies,
I know. I'd be in there spending mine, and I bump into other young people as they do.
Oh, yeah,
something.
Sure,
that's
you
what
do.
You meant,
yeah,
of course.
Yes, of course, I meant you.
That's one of the youngest broadcasters here in Highland Radio. just going to the first page of where you can spend these, and this is just to emphasise the point you make. It's a minimum of 254 outlets. Gibbons Tires, Gortley Tires. Do you know what I mean? Tires in the car. Abracababra, get yourself a kebab. Haven't had one of those for ages. Financial advice. Aldi. Amazonas Outdoor Store. Brilliant store, actually, that is. If you just want to go in and look around, you'll come out with something. The theatre. Tickets to a show. Arena 7. I'm on the A's here. Give me a chance. Atlantic Travel. Do you know what I'm on about? Like, if you have one of those, say you got a couple hundred quid, that's a big chunk off your early summer break or something.
I would say that some people joined us a number of years ago when the larger companies buy them for their staff, and some people joined us purely because they knew these were going out, and they would raise. So people go in and they say to the outlet, do you take these? And then we might get a phone call saying, could we take these? And it's brilliant.
Well, that's why that's why it's successful, you see, because it's a competitive advantage now to accept them. You're starting to get into winning formula there.
And if I would say years ago, you know, people, when the scheme was first set, it was poor my time, but they talked about, you know, should this just be local, should just be, you know, independence. But it was always agreed in the chamber that this would be, everybody could be in this. Anybody who's based in Letterkenny could be in Shop LK.
Yeah.
And it's proven to be the right way to do it, because everybody, you know, if you were saying about maybe putting it in the press, people use it for their groceries. Even before Christmas, you know, we can see them being spent in various places, or they use them for their daily shopping. Because, you know, you can then put the other few hundred you maybe got on the card in a away for something special.
And I think, too, there are people who would be a little bit, do you take them? Like, I wouldn't be the type that would ask, you know? So that's why the website's useful. You can check in advance. It can be Air, Currys, Intersport, Highland, and on it goes and on it goes. And as I say, just it's important now to transfer that into the potential 20 million in the local economy, because these are the businesses, for the most part, that support our charities, that offer prizes for raffles and that employ our children, employ us, pay our mortgages. Okay, so that's good. All right, okay, I think that's a really huge number for as we head into 2024. What do you think 2024 holds for us, Fionnuala? Things seem to have held up. We are looking at... what are you laughing at?
I don't know. I suddenly think I turned psychic over the Christmas, but I appreciate your confidence in me.
Well, maybe you could look at your sentiment reports. Maybe look at the fact that interest rates might be coming down. Maybe try and spread a little bit of positivity. Do you want to swap seats?
Ooh, there's a thought.
Oh, come here.
Oh, no, God, no. I definitely end up in court.
I couldn't even talk her into an evening show. I did try about three or four. Please don't.
No, not that I have the
power, but I thought you should be doing it.
I'd definitely get into trouble. No, I think, look at it. I think the year is starting strong, and hopefully that's what's going to keep going through. And I think that's the main thing, what it is. What we're here to do is to support business as part of the chamber. We want to support, you know, businesses, local businesses here in Letterkenny, but also and businesses throughout the county. A lot of the work that we do is not just local, but it's also national and international, you know, through Chambers Ireland. We do a lot of work. I know there's trips to Brussels and different things that are coming up during the year. We hope to be going up and down to the Dáil and that in the near future. You know, we've got a few elections coming up now this year, and we'll be seeing a national election within the next 12 to 14 months or so. So I think that's why the chamber is so important, that we have a strong voice and that we're there to be able to promote not just the good things, but also to be able to highlight the things that need to be sorted out and worked on in the county. But all in all, I think the beauty of Donegal is the way that people work together for the, you know, for the strength and for the growth of the county. You know, there's a great kind of collaboration, I think, between all, not just businesses, but other stakeholders. Like, we've always gotten great support from the council. We get great support from businesses, you know, our relationships with Derry Chamber of Commerce and ourselves. You know, we do projects with Sligo, we do projects with Galway, and these are all things that are all about promoting the west of Ireland. I think that's really what I look forward to for the next year, is
what
that we keep
you,
this
Tom?
Positivity
yeah.
going.
I suppose we're always trying to be air on the positive side. So we've had our challenges. Businesses have had their challenges.
Well, God knows I tried to set it up for that. She wouldn't bite, Tony.
She did her way.
I don't have a crystal ball.
I'm a very positive person. I think
I know.
I've lost my tune.
You were going to talk anyway, about 2024.
Yeah. So, and I think there were challenges last year, and there will be challenges. There's just a few bits of legislation coming in for businesses that, you know, will put their costs up, and you can only pass so much of that on to customers. But I suppose I was saying this to somebody yesterday. I look back at all these years I've been around for, this is my 17th year, and you kind of go through all the adversity and all the stuff we've gone through. People, our businesses who want to be there and they want to be in business and they keep on going, you know, and they just have to sway with whatever's happening. They can't change. We can lobby, which we do, but we can only change certain things. Now, there's a few things that we definitely, you know, the housing needs to be sorted. It's affecting all our businesses, all of that, and the cost of childcare. Mm-hmm. Big things like that we need to sort. But and the Chamber will do what they can for that. You know?
And I think really it's having the environment, Fionnuala, that allows the growth potential that's there, because it's frustrating if you have an area that can grow and grow and grow. And I think Letterkenny and Donegal is that. Mm. But the infrastructure, I don't mean physical necessarily, it has to be there to permit that growth as well. We don't want to be stymied here, do we? We want to be able to not hit a glass ceiling, but to realise our full potential. And that's where the Chamber's relationship with the government, or whatever government might be coming in, or the business minister or whatever, that's why that's really important, that lobbying.
Well, I think that's what important for us, as we always say when we go to any of these events in which there's opportunities for us to lobby, is we're not asking for people to give us any handouts. The people here in Donegal and the businesses here in Donegal, as Tony says, are very resilient. You know, they've had a lot of ups and downs over longer time than even I would know of. But that, as long as the region is brought up to a level that's of a standard to everybody else, and then we're just left to it. Really, what we want is we want to take care of any of the historical issues that are that are in place. As you say, infrastructure, not necessarily the physical, but just everything, you know, with regard to having the schooling, you know, health, different things like that as well. That once we're given the given a fair playing field, we're good to go.
Yeah. We were calling it, I suppose, one of the things we've been using, the term we've been using, is enabling investment. So if we got what we were sort of entitled to, I suppose, over the years, and brought up to a level, as Fionnuala said, we believe that this place can fly. You know, there's lots of stuff. I would go back a wee bit of infrastructure and say we do need our infrastructure to get us in and out. You know, the road to Dublin, all of that kind of stuff, A5.
Oh, it's important.
And the TNT. You know, we really, we'll keep on batting that drum until such times as it started.
What was the feedback from business through with the traffic issues and stuff? Because there were, you know, like, it's a tough one from in this chair, right? Because if you've got, you know, 12, 13, 14,000 people feeling they're being discommoded, you can't ignore that voice, but at the same time, you have to ensure that you're not amplifying it to the point where it's damaging to Letterkenny in and of itself. Businesses seemed not to be as concerned maybe as commuters were the traffic disruptions.
I think, Greg, to be fair, see that first week of Polestar being turned on, it was tight. It was, and we had businesses, large companies phoning us to say what's going on and who's going to manage this, staff being late and everything. But actually after that, it calmed down pretty well. There's still, Letterkenny's at capacity in terms of how we move around it.
The road infrastructure's maxed.
Yes, it is. And everybody would agree that. I suppose I always say, have a bit of patience. You know, we will get through. And the thing with the traffic lights seems to be you'll get through as opposed to you'll sit there for the last
Next
half an hour.
Even the council put the cards on the table. They said, look at, and for the reasons you've just outlined, we're not really likely to make anyone's experience quicker. That's not what this is about. This is about managing the traffic that's there, because you can't reduce the amount of vehicles, and until such time as we get the infrastructure that you talked of, is the hands we're dealt with at the moment.
I would suggest that over Christmas there was very much less locking up than there had been in other previous years that I used to see. I suppose where our office is, you can see it locking. So there was one day and a few weekends where it just got a bit tight. But it's Christmas, and if we were sitting here going there wasn't any traffic at Christmas, we were in a bad
state. I know some people that they moan like they don't want anyone else to be using the road except them. You know what I mean? At the particular time that they choose to use it.
At the end of the day.
I'm not talking about listeners here either.
And at the end of the day, you know, some of us go to other places. Dublin, for example, I had to go down. I was in Dublin a lot more last year than I have been before. And I'm sitting in traffic for a good half an hour in between trying to get into the city centre. So Letterkenny actually isn't as bad as that. And I'd not be in it. But I come in the four lane road every single day. And
the nice thing is
I can go home that road every single day, whereas I used to maybe go off and do a little back road.
I take it just off the back of a couple of comments. The Chamber is actively campaigning and making representations on the new bridge or the 10T, more generally speaking.
It's the 10T, generally speaking, because it's a package. It's gone to government as a package. My understanding is that I would hope that before any election is called, or local elections even, that it would get a positive response from government fairly quickly in this quarter.
Fionnuala, how long is your left in your term now?
Oh, just until the end of February.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, that year flew in, didn't it?
I know, it did. It went very fast, really, yeah. So by the end of February now, we will have a new president. So it's been a great year. I've really enjoyed it. It's been fantastic. I definitely recommend to people, you know, business people out there, even people who are thinking of setting up a business, to contact the Chamber and you know, one, in ways that we can help you and engage with us, but two, to even think about ways in which you might be able to help the Chamber as well. You know, we're always looking for new members. It's good to have fresh voices coming in and you know, talking about what they feel that they need, or
And there has been great growth in membership over the last
Been absolutely tremendous. We've hit record-breaking figures for ourselves, so we're just delighted with it. But I think we can always accept more people. We're always happy to have more people. And plus, we're always happy to have more people involved in, you know, in the board. And if you don't feel able to take on a commitment to the board, which even it's not a huge commitment, but if you feel that might be a step too much for you, but that you can contact us and become part of our committees. You know, we do a lot of social stuff as well as doing events with our members. We also do we'll have the St. Patrick's Day parade now. It'll be coming up in March.
Soon, the year goes in bite-sized chunks. It is
amazing to think that the planning that's going to be starting tonight is our first meeting back, and that's going to be one of the main things that'll start is when are the dates or what are we doing and when do people have applications in. It's amazing how quickly it comes around.
It really is.
But the Chamber's involved in a lot of stuff, and I think that it's good for people to get involved to come on board and
engage with us.
See what it is that we do.
Some brilliant stuff. Tony Forrester, CEO of Letterkenny Chamber, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And also Fionnuala Rabbitt, President of Letterkenny Chamber. Lovely to see you back in studio again. We're joined on the programme now by Councillor Micheál Colm an Gcoileann Easpa. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. It's good to have you on board. Okay.
Thank you.
We are talking about road safety here, particularly in certain conditions. What happened yesterday?
Well, this is unfortunately an ongoing story since I've been elected as a councillor in 2014. Yesterday, a young father was dropping off his kids at a school, and after just dropping them off, up the road he went to get on with his business. And the road in particular we're talking about is Mignonuller, and he slid on non-gritted road, and the van that he was driving coped in the middle of the road, not in the field or in the ditch running, but in the middle of the road itself. This is a road that is probably one of the main arteries coming from, I suppose, the Mwikia, got to hike it that direction into Gador. It's an extremely busy road in relation to a number of reasons. There's Gillespie's Quarries there, there's James Call, there's Noel Kelly or Declan Kelly, and there's a lot of other businesses. There's Aris Gador, the old folks' home. We have schools there. We have Nowdock there. We have the funeral home there. We have the Chaffubble, the chapel, the Catholic chapel there. A number of housing estates. It's an extremely busy road, but unfortunately it's graded as a secondary road. Now, the surface of the road, there's no doubt about it. There's been work done, and thanks to the council over this last number of years on it. But what the problem here is, which is a number of things. First and foremost is the fact that this road is not on a gritting programme. And since I got elected as a councillor, and just to be very clear about this here, I'm not the only one that's been raising this, but since I got elected as a councillor in 2014, there has been other roads that we were successfully able to work alongside the community, who put in a huge amount of work and making sure that their own community was looked after in terms of their gritting. And one of them I was very proud to work on and get on the list was Ranafarsta and over Lunya and heading over Kirkfalla. And it's really important that we organise for this Mignonuller Road as well to get it on the gritting programme, because if you have people who are delivering maybe in shop Valoy or Divicky or any of them shops down in Dirribugga, that's the main road that the deliveries come. So it's an extremely busy road, and it's not acceptable in 2014 that we don't have it on a gritting programme.
Can it go on a gritting programme if the will is there, or do, because of the status of the road, it being a secondary road, it can't be gritted?
No, it can. It's down to a number of things. First and foremost, what it's down to is if the Fianna Fáil Fine Gael government would adequately fund our government, our council, if they would fund us in a manner that we need to run our county. You can't. Absolutely. And I appreciate that you can't crit every road. And so does the public. The public very much recognises that. But what we do recognise is that the roads that are extremely busy are roads that are extremely important to us as a community needs to be on a grit and program. It's not acceptable that we have a road that is that we have the main church in the area, we have the main school in the area, we have Addis Gador, we have House in the Estates, we have a huge number of businesses in the area. And just the general community itself who are working day in and out, trying to get to work and farm on the road and so on, that it's not on a grit and program. Anybody that knows West Donegal will know Dominion Nuala Road. And what we need is, like I said, the Fianna Fáil from the Gael government to adequately fund us so that we can actually buy the additional vehicles, like more lorries, to give us the more capacity. Because even though that, and some were saying the other day that, well, the yard is up the road from this very spot, and yes, the yard is, council yard is up the road from it, but it's far more complex. The Gritton program is quite a complex mathematical.
Where you start, where you can go, when you run out of grid, and the crossover, the mountain, and
our staff do fantastic work, and the staff who goes out and risk their own safety and during frosty times to make sure that roads, because they're driving on non-gritted roads to gritter roads, so you have to recognise that. But it's not acceptable, and we need to move towards getting this road, as other roads like going out to the Mahari, the Mahara, and other roads that needs to go on it. And buying additional lorries would mean, it means then allowing us more capacity lorries. What the capacities, what bigger spreaders, and then the capacity, the ability to offer for senior staff to calculate where and when and how and all that there is it's second nature to them.
I mean, obviously, the next solution, though, beyond that, that's the aim, is having grit available for locals if they choose to spread it. Have you not been able to secure that during your tenure in the council?
Well, yes, we do. We do. Generally, what happens, and unfortunately, to what I could see yesterday, there was no grit left on the side of the road. And generally, there is grit left on the sides of the roads. There is a program there for any community that wishes to come up to the council yard and pick up grit. Granted, there are a case where maybe people don't have that ability or capacity. So generally, there are grit left on the side of the road, and the community is quite good to spread it. But that said, we have a community, and I'm not, God, there'll be people listening to me on Minion Nuala now not going to be happy with what I'm going to say, but we have an aging population in West Donegal, and it's not acceptable that we are expected at a certain age to go out on the road and start spreading grit. What we need to be in a position on roads that are key infrastructure roads that are important to our community needs to be on a grit and program.
Surely roads should be gritted based on the amount of traffic and facilities and amenities in the area, rather than sort of their status. You know, when it turns into sort of like an auction, then when it comes up for discussion annually. I mean, the busiest roads should, and roads that have a certain level of traffic and amenities, should be gritted by default. It shouldn't be something we have to bang a drum about, surely. Would that not be a better way to look at it?
Yes, I fully agree with you, Greg, absolutely. And if you look at that road, Dominion Nuala, and if you look at the footfall that's on that road, it's absolutely massive. Even our staff going to work to Addis Gador, our staff going up to Donegal Shores, our staff going up to James Calls or to Gillespie's Quarry or wherever the staff are going, or people coming and going to their own homes, it's a massive, massive footfall. And yes, the main artery would be to head down Coscleggie, come around one week over by Derrybeg, but that's not the way things happen. The way things are happening, the people look for the shortest route, and that's understandable. That's why we invested as a council in quite a lot of money over the last X amount of years to give it a good service that it has. Now, there's other works that needs to be done on that road, in terms of there's pinch points that needs to be widened, because you have to slow down at certain points to allow all the cars to pass. And if there's two lorries passing, well, that's just a stop and wait till we see how we get on here. So there's a lot of work that needs doing that the community demands. And I use the word demand because it is, after all, our community, and they have every right to demand that the proper investment is invested into the community, considering the fact that our roads infrastructure had been very, very poorly over many years. But there has been a huge investment done by the senior staff in West Donegal to make sure that we're using BECMAC over tower and chip.
Okay. Well, we have to leave it there, Councillor. Thanks for your time today. Happy New Year to you.
Good to meet you, Michael. Bye-bye. Happy New Year. Anyway, Dave Glenn.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is Councillor Micheál Colum McGowan-Asbeg. If you use that road or affected by it, let us know. 086 60 25000. Does anyone know how to register a card for One For All? This is a different initiative. I've tried to spend it, but because it's not registered, I can't use it. This is very unfair. How do you do it? How do you go about doing it? I've not done that. I went to London mid-80s with one suitcase and £200 in my pocket. I worked full-time and in the evening after working all day, worked in two different pubs over the weekends. I saved hard and in 1993 I bought my first home with my boyfriend. I would never have done that if I had sat back and listened to what was on the media. As that time when I bought, the interest rates were through the roof. My point is, if you want something badly enough, knuckle down, work hard, and you will get there. It might take a bit longer, but anyway. All right, just time for a brief conversation with Fine Gael Councillor Johnny McGuinness. And we're not talking about politics in this instance, Johnny. We're talking about your family business. Tell us what happened there over the last while.
Greg, well, I woke this morning to a phone call just after 6 o'clock from one of my senior management who had come into work and discovered that we had been broken into. And she was afraid to proceed into the building at that time, and I told her to just hang tight, and I made my way over there as quickly as I could. I got there a few minutes later, and it was obvious then that there had been extensive damage done to the rear of the building, of the shop, and entry had been gained. A number of doors had been kicked down into storage areas where high-value goods were stored, and the place had been ransacked from top to bottom, basically. And the contents had been taken, along with quite a large amount of single-packet cigarettes from the shop itself also.
So do you believe the culprits would have to have been on site for a period of time, or there had to be a number of them? In other words, it's likely, surely, that someone saw something.
Well, it would seem like they may have been afraid of somebody having seen them, because they seem to have left in quite a hurry, because they didn't take all of the goods from the shop
right.
area from behind the counter. So I'm not sure if that was by coincidence or if, I mean, sometimes if a car pulls up there at the junction, they're looking straight in, you know, the headlights come straight into the shop. So they might have thought they'd been rumbled and had to make a quick getaway. But either which way, they didn't go empty-handed. And there was, from what I can see, there was three of them at least. I believe that there's, from inquiries that I've been making and from other, there's been a number of other burglaries in the area of recent, and even last night, a farmyard in proximity to us here had also some goods stolen, and it looks like possibly some of those tools and posts and things have been used here on site here at our own premises to gain access into our business here.
Right. Okay. So the loss, the damage is significant. The loss extensive.
The damage is, you know, the damage, you can always fix the damage. It's the high value of the goods that have been stolen. You know, it's a blow that no business can take, and certainly businesses in rural Donegal like ourselves. So, you know, we're trying our best to maintain an existence and to preserve the jobs that are in place for the community, and preserve the service that we've given here as a family for decades, for over 100 years. It's very upsetting to think that there's people out there that are profiting on the misery of others, and you know they're putting all those jobs at risk for ourselves and for any other businesses that have been burgled and targeted over the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. I believe this gang are acting in the area here. We've had a spate of burglaries in different towns of late, and I think they're opportunistic to start off with, and then obviously they come across high value targets then throughout their night. But somewhere between, I think we had noises reported by a neighbour here at around 4:50 a.m. and another neighbour heard voices sometime between 3:30 and 4. I've had calls about a car being seen in by Jackson's Lane, which is a sort of a dead end road just outside the village, and I've been having calls coming in from the public, which I'm very grateful for all the calls that are coming in. I put a post up on Facebook earlier seeking any information that might be pertinent to the case, and I would ask you to do the same. If you could ask anybody to reach out with any tidbit of information, how ever so meaningless it might appear to them, it could be the missing link for ourselves to piece together exactly what's going on here.
Okay.
And we do have a definite line of inquiry, and we have a couple of vehicles of interest, and we will be garnering footage from shops in the vicinity where that think they may have dealt with these people in the hours leading up to it last night.
Okay, there's a lot of info to be working through. Johnny McGuinness, listen, thank you for your time this morning. Sorry for what you and the family are going through there. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.